Oh, he's got stamina. You got to give him that. Imagine being a presidential candidate and you've got two major felony criminal cases, trials staring you in the face. One starts early in the presidential primary season next year. Another now is going to start August 14th, unless it gets changed. And you kind of say to yourself as a candidate, no worries, I'm not dropping out of this race no matter what. That's Donald Trump's take. In fact, he seems to be energized by all of these accusations that he mishandled the nation's most protected secret and that he paid hush money to help steer an election, a campaign finance violation, not to mention the other trials that are likely to come his way in the near term. How does a candidate survive this? And how does he rise in the polls like Donald Trump is? Is that continuing, though? There's some evidence that maybe it's dropping just a tad, his support. Well, let's get some analysis on this and be enlightened by John Selleck, CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. So I guess first off, what do you think of this new trial date of August the 14th set for the classified documents trial? Is that going to be the date? And if so, what does that mean for Donald Trump's campaign?
Yeah, well, I think the short story is I will be surprised. I think most legal observers will be surprised if it actually can start that fast. In the bigger picture, you know, I'm not an attorney, but I worked for two different Michigan attorneys general and spent a lot of time watching all these legal maneuverings. And there will be a lot of meetings. There's a calendar call meeting prior to the start date where they're going to debate who's ready for a trial, what discovery has taken place, what discovery even can take place because of the sensitive security nature of the documents. And then we fold in the fact that the judge that got selected randomly was probably the last judge that the Department of Justice wanted. It's somebody appointed by Donald Trump, who's relatively new, has only conducted four trials at the federal level, and certainly not one that involves the Classified Information Procedures Act, which is meant to allow a criminal prosecution while protecting the sensitive information that's involved. And I think just that alone, trying to figure out how do you run a trial without exposing the very information you're accusing the ex-president of putting at risk, is a really tricky thing. And we've never seen it happen before. And maybe, Tom, the way we saw President Trump handle his arraignment in Miami kind of gives us a hint about how the President Trump's side of the world will handle these upcoming trials.
Yeah, it is a very tricky situation for a presidential candidate. He is not allowed to speak about the case, and if he does so, it could damage his case. But then again, if he does not speak about it, it will damage his political campaign because his opponents surely will be discussing this at length. If you were to advise him, which I know you wouldn't, but if you were to, what would you tell him?
Boy, I think actually he laid out the model, and he may have created the model, frankly, over the term of his first term. He laid out the model for how to handle this. And it's sort of the opposite of how the world used to work. Something like this happens, you go away, right? You duck in shame, you pull, you know, you suspend your campaign, blah, blah, blah. What President Trump's team did in Miami when they were getting arraigned for this thing was to show up in Little Havana and go to the most famous Cuban restaurant that's there. If you've been in Calle Ocho at Versailles, that's where you go at the epicenter of that road. And then he went back to Bedminster and he held a party. And what they're sending that signal is, I'm not going to get sidelined by this. I've got a lot of supporters in a lot of different areas, not only in Florida and Miami, but back in New Jersey / all the folks from Washington who showed up. This is all political, and I'm just going to plow ahead. I mean, the human cost, Tom, of even as somebody who seems to enjoy the brawling of presidential politics, for Trump, the human cost, the stress of dealing with this, and for his team, is going to be immense. And his team's focus is going to end up being drawn into this a ton. They'll divide. They'll have parts of the team, like on the super PAC, they're spending all their time going after Ron DeSantis, and maybe some of the others. But the president's inner circle is going to have to be focused on this and how you keep up this, hey, I'm fine, I got a lot of people around me, this is malarkey. You can pull that off in a burst for like Miami, but to pull it off for months at a time while you're trying to run a normal presidential campaign will be incredibly, incredibly draining, but it's kind of the only path for him. And then strangely enough, what we learned during Trump world from PR and politics is that bad news used to seem like a bad thing, but what bad news does for Trump is it sucks all the oxygen out of the room for everyone else. Mm. that makes it harder for the media to go and cover Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott and Nikki Haley and everyone else, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they like that all that much. And you add to that all these ads that Donald Trump is pushing out against Ron DeSantis. I don't think Ron DeSantis is very happy about this. It's interesting because his Republican opponents, some of them, like Ron DeSantis or Vivek Ramaswamy or Nikki Haley, seem to be, at least in some sense, supporting Donald Trump in this fight. And does that help Donald Trump more than it helps Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, they're in a tough spot, and we know it's not going to change because they want some of those Trump voters, especially if for some reason Trump does not remain in the race. For whatever reason, they're stuck doing that. And DeSantis is trying to be cute about it. He's trying to walk that line for now. But I think you bring up a really good point. I mean, the first RNC-sanctioned debate will be sometime in August in Milwaukee. That could be right in the middle of when this trial gets underway, if it actually does get underway. I think some of the opponents will think it's smart to just let the media have done the talking. The media will have covered this 24 hours a day, nonstop. Why do I have to get into it except for maybe a couple sleight of hand things? I think going back to something you said earlier, what if I was advising Trump on what to do, like say you're at the debates, a lot of the polling that's come out from the national, you know, NBC, ABC types lately, yeah, basically says a whole lot of Democrats are nervous about Joe Biden serving again because he's way too old. So there's an opening. But most Republican primary voters, they're standing with Trump on this. They think that the prosecutions in New York and Miami and potentially in Georgia are all political. But at the same time, very small percentages want him to keep talking about what happened or didn't happen in 2020. Very few low percentages want him to keep talking about his trials and his wrongful prosecution in their eyes. 96% want him to talk about what his plans are going forward. They want to hear what he's going to do about inflation and what he's going to do about national security, what he's going to do about a lot of other domestic issues. So that's where my advice goes as we head toward these debates. He can't forget to keep talking about that. But his tendency is to talk about himself a lot. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see how disciplined he can be, not constantly talking about being the victim here of Joe Biden.
You're right.
And do what the voters are looking for in the primary and say, talk to me about the policy. That's why we want to vote for you.
Yes. And I think that would resonate with a lot of Americans, not just the Trump base, but other Republicans, other independents, and even some Democrats who are tired of the policies that they believe are not truly Democratic Party-esque under this current president. So to that point, I mean, maybe there's something happening here in the polls, because CNN put out a poll that shows that Donald Trump's support is starting to dwindle, as high as it still is, but it slipped from 53% in May to 47% today. That's a 6-point drop. Do you think that at this point, the American people are just so fed up with these investigations and they're starting to push away from him?
I think that is probably true. What we have to see is how that plays out over the long term. What other stuff gets exposed? Do some of these things go away? Like when we look at the Hunter Biden results, where he basically got a slap on the hand after years of investigations, if that's what sort of happens to Trump, then people will be like, all right, you're right, you were wrongfully done in, let's go talk about policy. But you know, when we talk about their exhaustion and hearing about this stuff, like I think I said, CBS poll said 96% of Republican voters wanted to hear Trump talk about his plans for a second term. 90% want to hear about his plan for inflation. 78% want to hear about his plan to cut taxes. They want to focus on economic issues and what's going forward. And if he is drawn into talking about the investigations and being wrongfully prosecuted all the time, and if you were facing decades in jail potentially, you probably would have a tendency to want to talk about that. That's going to be a problem. And I wonder if some of his opponents on this debate stage, the strategy sessions, Tom, are going to be absolutely fascinating if we could listen in. I think a lot of them will think, I don't want to have to bring up the investigations myself, but I want to kind of help nudge Trump into talking about him. I want to make him insecure about it. Even when I attack Joe Biden for trying to put Donald Trump in prison. Can you imagine Donald Trump in prison? They'll be saying that to his face on the stage, trying to get him worked up and talking about that.
It always works. It worked in those previous debates in 2020. It'll work this time in 2024. Appreciate, as always, your perspective. John Selig, CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Your call's up next, 800-859-0WJR.